throughout the psalm, well, let me read it. I'm only going to read a portion. I thought I'd read all 40 verses. I thought, you know, I think that's going to be pretty long. So I'm only going to read the first 11 verses, but I want you to read the rest of the psalm this week. Would you do that for me? We're going to be in the Psalm 37 together for at least 2, maybe 3 weeks. Do not be afraid, because do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look at them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Throughout this psalm, David acknowledges the ways in which the wicked seem to prosper. Have you ever felt that way? As you look into your world and you see things and the way things are going, and you feel like, gosh, I feel like my faith is being attacked, my Lord is being attacked, everything I value and believe in just seems to be under attack. And here's what David said about the ways in which the wicked seem to prosper. He says in verse 7, the wicked carry out their wicked schemes. Verse 12, the wicked plot against the righteous, and they gnash their teeth at him. Verse 14, the wicked draw the sword and they bend the bow to bring down the poor and the needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. A beautiful picture of just using raw power to gain advantage. Sound familiar? In verse 16, the references to the wealth of the many wicked. It seems they seem to prosper. And then verse 21, the wicked borrow and do not repay. Verse 32, the wicked lie and wait for the righteous, seeking their very lives. Verse 35, I have seen the wicked and ruthless men flourishing like a green tree in its native soil. Throughout his life, David has seen the wicked prosper, but he provides wise counsel to the righteous in this psalm. Here is what you do. Here's what you and I do when the wicked seem to be winning. Here's what you and I do when the righteous are in the midst of a struggle. Here's what you and I need to do as we enter into a transition period in the life of our church. The first thing that we do is verse 1. There are four words there. What are they to start the psalm? You can say it out loud. Three words, I can't count. Do not fret. Can you say that with me? Do not fret. Sorry, I work with kids and Good News Clubs, so I do that kind of thing, you know. But that's a way for us to remember. I want that to be on your heart this week. I want that to be on the tip of your tongue this week. Do not fret. What does that mean? Very simply, don't worry. Okay, we're singing a song in Good News Club, and it's called, it talks about don't worry about a thing. Okay, and it's truth. It's right. What God is saying, do not fret, do not worry. Do not be envious of the wicked when they seem to be prospering. Do not fret when your circumstance is a little unsettling. Do not worry. Why? Why should we not worry during this time in our life? Even though we may be going through difficult times, why should we not worry? Well, there's an answer here, And for one, we don't worry because the wicked will not last for long. Okay? They may seem to be winning right now, but they're not going to last for long. The circumstances that we're in our lives, whatever you are going through, be it physical, emotionally, spiritually, whatever you're going through is not going to last forever. Listen to what he said. This is how the wicked are described. This is God's perspective. For a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Verse 10. Verse 12. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. Verse 20. But the wicked will perish. They will vanish. Vanish like smoke. Poof. And verse 38, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. That's what God says will happen to those who do not follow in faith and obedience to God. They may be king of the hill, but they will only be king of the hill for a short season. After a season, poof, like smoke. So do not fret, because the wicked will not last for long. Many of you are aware of Voltaire. He was a brilliant atheist, an amazing, famous French philosopher. And he made this statement about God's Word. He said, 100 years from my death, the Bible will be a forgotten book. It'll only be in a museum. It'll be a museum piece. 100 years after Voltaire's death, the French Bible Society set up its headquarters in Voltaire's old home in Paris. And they printed thousands upon thousands of Bibles in his very home. Do not fret, for the Lord has it under control. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like the green plants, they will soon die away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. So during this time of transition, it is a time to not fret. God is in control. He orchestrates the seasons in our life. He had this planned before the foundation of the earth. He's got us in the palm of his hands. It's okay. We don't need to fret. There's a second reason not to fret, and I love this. Two, God values you. He knows you. He knows us as a church. He knows you individually. He knows what you are going through. He knows exactly what you need. Jesus is the head of this church. He cherishes this church. He loves us. He knows us. He knows exactly what we need. Often God will bring change and hard times to bring changes that he wants to accomplish so that we might be conformed into the image of his Son. He wants us to be a vibrant church who's in love with God, who will love people, who will go and make disciples. So he wants us to flourish. So listen to Psalm 34:7. Listen what it says about our God. Verse 18 and 19 says this. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. Do you know what he just said? He says, the days of the blameless are known to the Lord. The Lord knows your days. Whether you're in high school, middle school, whether you're in college, whether you're 99 years old, the Lord knows your days. And he says, he will be with you through that whole time. In verse 33, it says, if the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Did you catch that? If the Lord delights in a man or woman's way, the way of the righteous, and He delights in your way. You belong to Him. He makes your steps firm. And though we stumble, we may fall and stumble, but He says, you're not going to fall. It's not permanent. For the Lord upholds you with His right hand. And that's what God is going to be doing with us in these next few weeks and months. We may stumble, we may fall, but we're not going to fall permanently. And God is saying, I've got you right in my strong hand. And He's going to walk with us. Do you know what Jesus said about worry? I'm going to flip over there real quick. Matthew 6. You can flip over there real quick if you'd like. In Matthew 6, Jesus said this about worrying. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And the answer to that question is yes. You are a lot more valuable than the birds. And yet God takes care of them and He feeds them. They don't store things up. They don't have barns to put their food in. The Lord takes care of the birds. And what Jesus is saying, you are so much more valuable than the birds. Yet the Father takes care of the birds. How much more will He take care of you? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? By worrying about something, does that help? Really? It doesn't. When we worry, we need to simply say, I acknowledge I'm worrying. And there are reasons to be concerned. But Lord, I'm going to choose to take that worry and I'm going to turn it to you and I'm going to say, God, I'm going to choose to trust you. Sometimes I do that. If I get anxious, you know what I'll do? I'll just say, Lord, I'm anxious right now. And I know that's not where you want me to be. So, Father, I'm going to trust you right now in this situation. And that's what God wants us to do. And Jesus goes on to say, why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? What Jesus is saying is that your Heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. He clothes you. He will take care of you. And Jesus goes on to really say this, worry is an expression of unbelief. When we worry and fret, we're thinking about our circumstances and our situation, and God is saying, okay, that's a cause to be concerned, but who are you going to trust? And when I worry, I can be like, well, how can I solve this? What can I do? Work harder, work smarter, do this, try to do this, make this decision. And God's saying, stop. Don't fret. Seek my face and trust me. Talk to me about this and watch what I will do. I'd like to read an account of someone who came to realize that in the struggle to envy the wicked, there was no reason to fret, but rather to trust God. Listen to this poem. I think about it all the time. It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right. I try to make the equation work, but it doesn't. They don't give you the time of day. They couldn't care less about your law. They are proud of their pride. They are so arrogant, their tongues strut. They mock your existence. They scoff at your boundaries. They not only make threats, they resort to violence. Their boasting is their bling. I usually swallow my questions. But I'm roaring inside. It makes me tired to think about it, and it does make my obedience seem like a waste. They seem to have little trouble. They seem to seldom suffer. But I do. And while I suffer, they are fat and happy. You ever felt that way? Then in my confusion, it hit me. This is but a moment, a dream, a mist, a vapor. a quick passage through a temporary place. This is not my home. This is a journey toward home. They think this is home, but this is not home. Please guide me on my way. Please hold me with your hand. And when I'm weary and my heart is about to fail and my reserves of strength are gone, please help me to remember that they have ease and riches, but I have you. And you will be my strength and portion forever. Psalm 37. You know, even though the times are tough, even though my life there's struggles, God, I know I don't have to fret because you love me and you have a plan for me. And God, you are in control. And the Lord loves this church. He loves us. And we're His family. And in the months to come, through the challenges, actually, I'm thanking the Lord. I'm saying, God, thank you for the challenges that we have. And you're going, Dwayne, are you weird, whacked? No. I'm thankful for the challenges. I'm thankful for that because in that challenge, it forces us to turn our hearts to God in humility, total dependence upon Him, and say, God, we're going to seek your face, work in our midst. And He is going to do that. So we need to thank the Lord for the challenges that we have, but also trust Him. That's next week's message. But for the message for today, it's do not fret. In the weeks and the months to come, this is a time for us to trust God and His leading. It's not a time to fret or to worry or to fear. It is a time to trust our God who values us more than anyone or anything else in creation. We are made in His image. We are His children. We are His chosen ones. The Lord loves the just and will not forsake His faithful ones. That's right there in Psalm 37. The Lord loves the just and will not forsake His faithful ones. And this morning, I think it's totally appropriate that as we come and we go into Psalm 37, do not fret, that we take communion. Because as we take communion, as we take the bread and we drink the juice, it's a reminder of how much God values you and how much He values us together as the body of Christ. And He's saying, I've got you. I love you so much that I sent my Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. That's how much He cherishes us. Sarah, if you would you put that on the screen, the verse? And so, today as we come to the table, and here's what I'm going to have you do. We're going to have you come up to the table. There's one here, there's one in the back. And Patty's going to come and play some music. It's a picture of us coming to the Lord. And as we take the bread, as we take the cup, it's a reminder that, Lord, I'm not going to fret. I'm going to trust you. This is a reminder, as I hold the bread and as I hold the cup, this is a reminder of how much you cherish me. And look at what this says on the screen. And I want you to think about this as you hold the elements. I want us to come and take the elements, take them back and wait. Because I don't want us to take communion independent, because we're not a bunch of independents. We're in unity. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. So we'll take the bread and the cup together. So hold those elements. But as we're doing that, I want you to think about this verse. God made Him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. Do you think God values us? He made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. So that as a result, in Him and in Him alone, we might become the righteousness of God. God looks at you and says, you are righteous before me because of what my Son has done for you. And so there's no reason to fret. The God of the universe has sent His Son so that we can have His righteousness. He cherishes us. He loves us. We can trust Him. Do not fret. So I'm going to have you come, Patty, come on up and have her play as we're coming up. Grab the elements, be at your seat, and we'll take it together. Father, I want to thank You for Psalm 37. Lord, You know us. You know this body. And Lord, we're in a transition period, and we acknowledge that, Lord, and it's happy, joyful, sad together. And Lord, there are a host of emotions and feelings that we have. And Lord, one of them is that we're going to trust You through all of this. And Lord, thank You that You love us. Thank You that You cherish us. And as we come to the table this morning, Lord, we're reminded of the truth that, Father, You chose Your Son, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might enjoy and receive the righteousness of God. Oh, how You love us, Lord. Oh, how You care for us. And so, Lord, as we take communion this morning, we exalt Your name. We worship You. We remember You, Lord Jesus, in Your kindness and Your goodness toward us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.